I would like to thank both the Orthodox Union, MASC, NIDA, other organizations that are sponsoring today's program. It's a davar she'omed berumo shel olam. It's something that stands in the height of the world. And in particular, I would like to thank a very dear friend of mine, Mr. Frank Buchholz. Because of his efforts and because of his care and concern, programs like this and others go on all over the world. He is an incredible person, and ever since I met him years ago, I never stopped being amazed at his drive, at his concern, and at his care for Klal Yisrael. He should continue le'orech yomim tovim in good health. Today is a simcha for those that are left. It's a great simcha. The reason is because we speak openly without shame about a very serious situation that affects not only the entire world, but Klal Yisrael in particular, Achenu B'nai Yisrael. And I do think that there are pressures inside of the community. Yes, we are good at it. Whatever we do, we excel. We excel in subjects, we excel in the arts, we excel in music, and we also do excel in eating disorders. We just know how to do it very, very well. However, we also recover well. And among those that come this day to grace, really they should be speaking instead of me or anyone else. I gladly give up my microphone for them at any time. I would like to applaud all of them and to mention what my idea of full recovery is. Full recovery. This is a definition. You won't get it from Wikipedia. You'll get it right here, Goldwasser. Full recovery from an eating disorder is a young woman that is so healthy and so mentally sound that she decides that she wants to give a kidney to another individual in desperate need. She goes through a battery of tests, physical, mental, in all ways, and she gives the kidney. And she's here today, and I applaud her in particular. Decades ago, when I put out my first book, a very interesting reaction happened. It was a book of 20 stories. 20 stories, all true, all inspirational, all divine providence. So I submitted it to the publisher, and I got a call back, very timely. The publisher said, "We love the book, everything is great, but there is one story that's too radical, so we're going to have to eliminate that story." I said, "Which one?" I had a story about someone on drugs. I had a story about someone who was a thief. I had a story about someone that went very far off the derech, off the path. And I was wondering which of those was the story. The publisher said, "Well, it's the one about the eating disorder, the anorexia. It's too radical. We can't print that." I said, "Okay, no problem. Just return the manuscript and I'll find another publisher." "Oh, we would like to think about that. Can you give us an hour?" I said, "I can give you half an hour." Half an hour, I got a call back. "We decided we're going to go out on a limb and we're going to print the story." I received, after the book was printed, a written apology from the publisher, because the one story that got the most response, and in the publisher's words, did the most good for the world and had more people respond to it, reaching out for help, was the story about the person that suffered from anorexia. Fast forward 2 decades to today, and the union has such a beautiful morning in which we can all come together and discuss and open the situation, the challenges, if you will, the problems that face the community, and I will say the Frum community in particular. So it is a day of simcha for all of us. It's interesting that Certainly, there are no good scientific studies available at this point. What is scary is that the numbers inside of our own community, which is supposedly somewhat insular, mirrors the numbers of people with eating disorders in the outside world. That is a scary number. And we have to take note that there are reasons and there are societal reasons that may be unfortunately committed by people within the community. We have to understand, how do we balance those things? How do we talk about it? How do we guard ourselves that we should not fall prey? That we say the right things when we're sitting around the table? That we don't give an unreal expectation to a young lady or a young man, menorrhexia, in order that they should grow up and they should have a healthy body image, no matter what size, no matter what frame, no matter what Hashem has blessed them with, that they will be happy. It's interesting that the idea of body image in ourselves is first stated in the very first Torah portion of our Torah in the Bible. The very first portion says, Na'ase Adam b'tzalmeinu. We were created in God's image, b'tzelem Elokim, not a thin God, not a heavy God, God. And that means whatever a person was created in that image, they should be happy and learn to love themselves and be comfortable in their own skins. How many times will I hear an 8-year-old girl say, I hate myself. Look at me. Look how ugly I am. I'm a Rachmonis case, one girl told me. A beautiful, wonderful, outstanding young girl. I'm a Rachmonis case. How did we get there? It's impossible for us to think that these images just started conjuring up inside of our minds or inside of young children's minds. They overhear. They see what mother and father, as the wonderful therapists and people spoke about before, they do hear. They hear the indications that we're given. They say, you know, I want to be like mommy. I want to be like Abba. I want to be like my father. If they're watching and they're looking at nutritional panels every other moment and they're talking about diets and they're only eating lettuce and they're doing the Diet Cokes and they're doing the Diet Red Bulls and that's going to fill up their day, and they speak about a lot of things in Hollywood, which has no business in the Yiddish Haim, does not. They have enough problems in Hollywood, believe me, that don't need us involved. Besides that, people jump on the anorexic bandwagon because they feel in some way it's going to improve their chances for a shidduch or improve their chances to be matzliach and successful in life, and it is simply not true. I wish it were, sir. Or the comment that sometimes I get, oh, I know why the girls are anorexic and some of the boys. And by the way, I have a very significant population of boys, males, going up through the 30s and 40s that come to see me on a regular basis. It is not anymore just a female problem. They have a bigger situation, have a bigger challenge, because they are not those that are going to want to talk about it. If you have a young woman and she has a little bit of a fear, perhaps she can conquer it. If you have a man and he takes a look at himself and he says, I got this eating problem, I have disordered eating, I don't know where I could ever go with that because I'm so embarrassed. This is a girl's problem and I have it. So you can imagine the shame, and you can imagine how silent that the problem is, although I believe that one day it will explode. So how do we get that idea in our own mind of how a person should really be understanding the way that Hashem wants us to be in this world? Firstly, we should understand that with everything that we do, there is a touch of spirituality. We cannot be devoid of spirituality in any area. When a person is suffering through any challenge, and I don't care what it is, I don't care what the name of the addiction, gambling, compulsive overeating, bulimia, no matter what an individual is doing, texting, whether they are overdosing on the internet, compulsions for all different types of things, there is a void spiritually. If we reach out ourselves and we know how to connect with Hashem, and we ask Hashem for help, we ask Hashem, please guide us to the right individuals, guide us to help, that is primary. It's a basic foundation of a person that is ill, of a person that's faced with a challenge. They need help. And the community has to be ready immediately to help. The community cannot say, the problem doesn't exist, Ashanda, I can't believe it. We don't want to discuss it in public. We don't want to talk about this too much. Other people may hear it. I can tell you that there is a danger in the world with having a lack of education from the right ways. There is something called cyberexia. Cyberexia is, as many people will go immediately to the computer and Google and find out all their information from the information highway. So people, if they don't get their information from the right places, from these types of seminars, they will Google it. And many will see that there are pro-ANA sites in which a young girl or a young boy can learn all the tricks. They can learn all the things that they need to know, how to perfect their eating disorder and hide it in a wonderful way from anybody that will ever see it. I had a young fellow, is about 14 or 15 years old, and he had to sit at the dinner table with his parents and everybody gathered around, and he didn't know what he could do to hide the food that he was supposed to be eating. He tried all kinds of things. He threw it under the table, they found it. He put it in his lap, they found it. So he did something very smart. He made a pocket. He used large collars on his shirt. He made a pocket inside, and instead of putting the food in his mouth, he would just slip it inside of the pocket and continue to push it up further and further. He perfected it. He perfected it. Or the woman in Eretz Yisrael who flew in for treatment, who was so careful and ate a full meal all of the time, and immediately after eating a full meal, she went to purge. And she was so good in hiding it, and she knew how to use the right perfumes and the right mouthwash, and it was just, people were clueless in the family. However, her husband noticed that her teeth became darker and darker, and he said to her, you know, Miriam, you really have to brush your teeth. And Miriam says, oh, I do. He says, no, you've been negligent because I see your teeth are getting darker. Finally, one day, he schlepped her. He made her go to a dentist. The dentist was already keen to eating disorders, and as soon as he gave her an examination, he said, you are suffering from an eating disorder. She broke down in the dentist chair and came to the first point of reality, the first recognition that she is suffering. Many people do not know that they suffer. The reason is because food is a lifelong challenge. Do you ever get over the idea that a person is a compulsive overeater or undereater or orthorexia or the individual diabulimia or an individual even when they're pregnant, pregnorexia at that time? Can they say, I don't have an eating disorder anymore? It's a very difficult thing. It's a lifelong struggle in certain cases. They're doing research right now about second generation and third generation eating disorders. I was at a convention in which I was asked to address on specific points of spiritual recovery. And in that time, I was invited to lunch to join in with everybody else. And there was a young girl, I would say about 14 or 15. She introduced me to her mother, who was also a participant, also in recovery, who in turn introduced me to her mother, a grandmother, a mother, and the child. So it is something that has hit the world. It is certainly something that is the challenge of our generation. It is a magefa. It is a plague. It's everywhere. It's here. It's in Australia. It's in Gateshead. Gateshead, an insular community. I was there. There's nothing to do. In the evening, if you want to go somewhere after 6 or 6:30, you can go for a walk maybe on the street, but that's about it. Yet, with no advertising, with no media, without anything coming into the city, there is, unfortunately, cases of anorexia which resemble those in all different parts of the world. The word, the staple for food in Hebrew, of course, is the word lechem, bread. Lo al lechem levado yichya ha'adam. That a person does not live on bread alone. Bread. It takes bread to make the meal. It takes bread to make the Sabbath meal or the Yom Tov, the holiday meal. Yet, what is lechem? Lechem also comes from a word, lochem, to fight. Milchama is lechem, war. It's a war. It's a fight. It's a struggle. Do I eat too much? Do I not eat enough? Do I tell my child sitting at the table, you should finish your plate, why don't you finish your plate? Or do I tell my child, why are you eating so much? And then I could give both signals at the same time. You go to a wedding, right? We're supposed to be careful. We're supposed to eat the right foods. The Torah tells us, "V'nishmartem ma'od l'nafsho sechem," be exceedingly careful about your health. So I want to be careful about my health. I go Thursday night to the wedding. I get everything from soup to nuts. As if I didn't have enough from the smorgasbord and all the food and all the dishes and everything that they serve, then I get the full dinner. Once I have the full dinner, wow, that's really great, but there's dessert. Dessert is cholent and kugel. After all, it's Thursday night. So we add to the pie. And then after cholent and kugel, finally we get the Viennese table, which we all wait for, and everything is rolled in and we're able to enjoy ourselves. That is the simcha of the wedding. But there are those that, God forbid, should leave the wedding hungry. You go upstairs. They have a new innovation. I don't know if you've seen the latest minhag, where they have a beautiful case with donuts and chocolate chip cookies, warm, of course, with coffee. So you can take one for the road in case, chas v'sholem, you have any hunger pains on the way home. So we have that. And then you pass the garbage receptacle outside of the hall, and you see them dumping full portions, meat, and cakes, and challahs, and everything imaginable, and fish, thousands and thousands of dollars. Waste. Bal tashchis. How is it possible? It's a midyaraisa. So we're giving a lot of different messages to ourselves and to our young people. Be careful, watch, eat. Have a lot of meals at the chasana, have everything, be very careful about. You make sure that you include all of the different courses in the meal. And on the other hand, yes, we're supposed to be careful. We're supposed to view all the food, but not eat all the food. Which one is it? We've got to get it straight. So by the time that it comes to certain things, like for instance, a chasana, when it comes to a wedding, when it comes to going out, how is an individual supposed to view themselves? If you would like to know, I sat together with a group of 25 people. I prepared a slide presentation, which we do not have the time for. I prepared it because Mr. Frank Buchweitz had asked me for a program that was done together with the Renfrew Center, sponsored by the Orthodox Union. And I did interview a group of 25 young people, men and women. You would be startled to hear the words that they say about expectations of how they should look. Not more than that, just how they should. Personality, forget it. Depth, forget about it. Intelligence, nah. Looks, it's most important. Most important. Where did they get it from? You should have heard the various answers that were given to me, the various answers that they were talking about. Community, maybe. Home, maybe. But it's coming from somewhere. And we have got to understand that this is something that is a pressure. It's an undue pressure. It does not create an eating disorder. And how right you were when you said that there are many causes behind an eating disorder. There could be abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. There could be comparing an older sibling to a younger sibling. There could be many different reasons. The person embarrassed about the bodily changes that are going on. It could be numerous reasons. It could be a severe need to be recognized. You have to be an expert in order to be able to tell. It's not going to come just because of one reason. There are many catalysts. But what we are in charge of is at least removing the stigma, removing that pressure that an individual will think that unless they are a size 2 or 0 or minus, whatever it is, if there is a negative size, I'm not sure, an individual will have to know that a shidduch comes from Hashem. That everyone is under the influence of the Mezavek Zivugim. God is the matchmaker. No matter if a person is by themselves in the world or a person has a wonderful family. No matter if they have great yichus and a lot of money or they have no yichus, no family lineage and no money. Hashem takes care of his children. And therefore Hashem will take care of the child if they're eating healthy and they're able to maintain a healthy body image and a healthy relationship with food, or they're not. Hashem can take care of everything. We say it every day. We got to believe it. We say it in the Psukim, Hayad Hashem Tiktzor, is the hand of God too short? Isn't Hashem the Kol Yachol? Can Hashem not do everything? So we have to give the right messages to our young people. They have to understand that it is not our size. It is not our look. We are all blessed by Hashem. We all have wonderful chen. We all have great charm. And it does not matter which body we have been blessed with. But Hashem says, do one thing, accept your body, accept who you are, be happy with yourself, be comfortable with yourself, and don't, God forbid, give the idea to one person or another that they should not be comfortable with their God-given gifts. This is something that we couldn't stress enough. As much time as we would be given, we should say it over and over again. Don't overeat, don't undereat, eat. God says, V'chalto, v'sobato, v'rachto, eat, be satisfied, and bless. Do you know how many young people come to me today and say, how do I know what satisfaction is? I can be satisfied. I'm not hungry. I'm really not hungry. My parents said, you have to be satisfied. And I will tell them, what does satisfaction mean to you? Satisfaction would be skipping today's meal. Where did you get that from? Where did you get it? Do you like to eat? Do you enjoy eat? Do you enjoy food? Did you enjoy food? Did you just like ice cream? Something. The individual, in the way that they're looking at it, we have to understand that it's a perception. It is a way that we look at them in a way, in essence, that they are looking at themselves. Every morning we say a blessing, Pokeach Ivrim. Hashem opens up the eyes of the blind. What does that mean to us? Open up the eyes of the blind. Oh, good, I can see today. I can see colors and shapes and all different textures and things and the sunrise and the moonrise and the ocean. I can see it all beautiful. That's not what it means. Pokeach Ivrim means let me see myself correctly. Let the young people see themselves correctly for who they are, for what they are. Let them not see a distorted body image. Let them not look in the mirror and say, I'm so fat. And the person is skeletally thin. The person says, at 68 pounds, 5'7", as they did last week in my office to me, I will be happy if I could just lose another 7 pounds. Then I can get to my goal weight. What is that? Pokeach Ivrim. To be able to see us, see ourselves, and see our children as they should be seen. They're delightful. They're wonderful. No matter what their weight is, we should never make a comment. I hate to say it. We all need a sensitivity training course in this. There was a pediatrician who called me up and said, I think I made a big mistake. I said, well, say vidoy now. What's your mistake? Oh, well, there was a young girl that came in, and obviously she was overweight, so I said, you must like to eat a lot of pancakes. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? There needs to be training courses for even professionals to understand the very enigmatic illness of an eating disorder. It defies rationale. It is beyond. The research that is done now is fantastic, and there needs to be more research because it has to be understood on a deeper level. The child that you cannot discover whether they're having an eating disorder or not, they came up with a new test by testing a strand of hair and the proteins that are present. And then we can finally find out, does the child have an eating disorder or not? Isn't that something? They're able to hide it pretty well. They can do a great job on it. Why is that so? Because the truth is, in essence, they do feel that they are correct in wanting to lose the weight. The reason is because they have a clouded perception of what real weight and real good body image is. And it's an amazing thing. There is something called body dysmorphic disorder. And what that means is that we cannot see ourselves for what we really are. It's like when you go to the circus, you know, in the old days. I haven't been there for a while. But when you go to the circus in the old days, so there was a mirror that you look in. Do you remember it? You better. You take a look in the mirror, and you could be somebody very thin, and all of a sudden you see this giant person there. Well, believe it or not, someone that suffers from this disorder, when they look at themselves in the mirror, they see somebody who is huge. And it's interesting that no matter how many times you're going to try to correct their perception, they will not see it. It's a very interesting thing because the Talmud says, where is eyesight connected to? You're not going to believe it. The heart. The heart. It's the Tosfos. Happens to be one of the famous commentaries in the Talmud. And what does that mean in the heart? Rashi explains that the way that the heart wishes to visualize is what the eyes are going to see. Otherwise, it's an optical illusion. I feel I'm too heavy. I'm too thin. I feel this. I feel that. Another very important idea is self-esteem, self-confidence. We need to give our young people and ourselves a very healthy sense of self. No matter which eating disorder you're going to try to correct, no matter how much therapy that an eating disordered person is going to go through, unless they're going to develop a self of a strong sense of self-esteem, it will be very difficult to make progress. They have to know that they are greater than their disorder. They have to know that their body means something no matter what weight, no matter what size that they are, that they are an important person, that they are beloved by Hashem, and they are beloved by all of us. I don't have any cold facts and figures on it, but I can tell you that I do a little study on my own of people that were compared to others, older siblings, younger siblings, siblings that excel, siblings that are the perfect size, that are exact. You would be very surprised how great is the percentage of people that were compared, and they shudder when they're compared, who developed an eating disorder. Oh, your Cheva sister? Isn't that wonderful? Are you anything like her? She was my best student. Oh, I'm sure you're good too. Beginning of the year comment. How many people make that? First day in class. It's a killer. It's a killer. I can never live up to that person, so I'm going to have to try. Number one wish of girls between 11 and 17 is to lose weight. More than half of all 13-year-old girls are unhappy with their image. Nearly 40% of students between the fourth and sixth grades have tried dieting. School in Greater Washington brought me in, and I had the occasion to eat. They brought me in to speak to the various classes. I had the occasion to eat with the sixth grade girls, and there were sixth grade boys. I was amazed. I sat there, and there was one container that was placed on the table. Everybody grabbed the container. I thought, boy, these guys must be pretty hungry. No. They wanted to be first to look at the nutrition panel. How many fat calories? How many sugars? How much this? How much that? We're talking sixth grade. I mean, it's unbelievable. Young girls are more afraid of becoming fat than nuclear war or the dreaded disease of cancer. Lo aleinu. This should speak to us that we need to make sure in our own community that the right things are accented. Wasn't it true that when it came to Tu B'Av, which was the great day of celebration, in which anybody that didn't have a shidduch, those that didn't get a matrimonial match, they all came. They all came and they danced in the orchards. But it's interesting that the girls did not wear something special. They didn't get dressed up in the latest fashions. They didn't see what Paris had that may attract an eye. No, they didn't do that at all. It was all begodim, clothes that were borrowed. It was just a uniform. And they would all be dressed. And they would say, Sana, raise your eyes, Bocher. Choose what you want. And I always ask the question, why does it say, Sana, raise your eyes? Because when it comes to Shidduchim, a person's got to raise their sights. They cannot be involved in the external. They cannot be involved in that which merely meets the eye. the pretty picture, the packaging. The individual has to be interested in the internal, what is inside the pnimius. Isn't that what we're all about? Isn't that what we have to train the community to be interested in? We are not putting our daughters on the market. There is a market in New York, 14th Street. You want a market? Go in and see the market. You'll see what's on the market. Sides of beef, trucks that pull up. We're not putting our daughter on the market. We're not parading her chol hamoed that she should walk down Collins Avenue so she is seen and people will see. What are they going to see about her? Is it her hair or her size or her shoes? What is it that we want to impress people with? And what messages do we give over to children? We are an unbelievable community. Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goyachad baretz. There is no other community in the world that equals the chesed, the care, the concern, the love for all people, all of Hashem's children. But we can take a little bit every once in a while, introspect. We can take a deeper look and look inside. I can look inside myself as well. And I can say, how can we improve? How can we change it a little bit? How can we help in the area of shidduchim in making matrimonial matches so that people don't freak out and get nervous at 16 and 17 years old? Oy vey, what's going to be the future? And that also gives a certain desperation into the young people. You could talk about the shidduch crisis from today until Mashiach, till the Messiah will come. And it will not help. What will help? Make a shidduch. What will help? Put two people together. Think about it. You know somebody that doesn't have a shidduch? Put the name up on your refrigerator. Put the name up. Don't take it down until you've helped. Don't take it down until you get good news. We need to somehow depressurize all that exists. And then people will not feel that they need to do something extreme in order to get a shidduch. I will starve myself and then I'll be able to get a shidduch. And you want to hear an interesting thing? I don't believe for one moment, anybody that has an eating disorder now really thinks about shidduchim at all. Most of the times, it are parents that are coming to me and saying, you have to tell our daughter or our son who's suffering right now that they need to go out because they're getting older and they have to go out. They have, you know, opportunity knocks right now. Anybody will tell you, it's ridiculous. Let the person get married when they're supposed to get married, when they're ready to get married, when they feel good enough about themselves to get married, when they're in a state of mind that they can appreciate it. Unfortunately, we don't realize that. The pressures have to stop. Gedolei Torah, our Torah leaders, do not want any pressure whatsoever. Where is it coming from? We have to understand that it's a little bit in our own families. And I'll speak personally as well, my own family. My own daughters will say, Ta, don't you work in eating disorders? How could you just say that to me? And they are 100% right, and I will apologize to them. But how did it get that way? And when did we stop giving the encouragement that used to be given in the old days for all kinds of nice things? When did we stop? Is it all about looks? You know that book, it says, you have to say I'm pretty. You're my mother. Do you know how many people have come into me and told me that they lack parental encouragement in the area of looks because they are not what their parents expected them to be. And they're supposed to work very hard to get on the same page with their parents. And they figure, not only my parent is unhappy with my looks, but the self-dissatisfaction and the relationship between parent and child that goes down the drain because they feel my mother or my father doesn't like me. We want to prepare children for shidduchim, to get married. We should prepare them to be healthy, full of self-confidence. We should prepare them to know that we love them and Hashem loves them. We should prepare them with the Chazal, Arboim Yom Kodim Yetzira Savlad, that 40 days before the embryo is formed, Bas Kol Yotzeis V'Omeres, that the heavenly voice proclaims, Bas Ploni L'Ploni. And it's going to happen that so-and-so will marry so-and-so. We need just to facilitate it. We're coming up to the holiday of Purim. Vayihi Omein Es Hadassah. Mordechai Yehudi, he brought up Hadassah. He brought up Esther. How beautiful, right? But the Michtam Elio says, why does it say Omein that he brought her up? Omein is from the Loshon of emuna. He believed in her. And she knew that he believed in her. And therefore she became the heroine, the savior of Klal Yisrael. When the children know that we believe in them, that we don't accent the external, then there's a whole different story. Then there's a whole different philosophy. Then the girls will not go and the boys, the same, unfortunately, same. A little bit dissimilar, some of the behaviors, but it is the same. It is the same. It's in the mind. It's in their way that they look at themselves. Then they will change. It says in the Mishnah Novus, HaMahalach Baderach, someone was walking along, Bishon, and he was learning. All of a sudden he saw a beautiful tree. And he said, Mana Ilonze, how beautiful is the tree? Just a nice tree. What does the end of the Mishnah say? Anybody? Harizu Mitchaye Benafsho. That person is then obligated with their very soul. They are obligated even to be killed. Why? Why? The Gaon Shel Torah said, what did he do so bad? In fact, when you see the beautiful creations of the world, you're supposed to say, Magolu Masecha Hashem. How beautiful are your works, O God? So what did he do wrong? Very interesting answer. What did he say? Manae. How pretty is the tree? What should he have said? How strong is the tree? How deep are its roots? How beautiful is the foliage? Look what the tree can do. Look at the wonders of the tree. But instead, those words were wasted on how pretty is the tree. That's a yesoidistic difference in the way that we are supposed to view ourselves. And this is only my own, but ki adam etz hasada. A man is compared to the tree. And perhaps this Mishnah is talking about the tree that is really the man and really the woman. We are an addicted society. We become addicted to everything, addicted to eating disorders, addicted to anything, to gambling, to drinking. We become addicted to behaviors, addicted to texting, addicted to internet, to emailing. Someone asked me a shaila, halachic query. How many times is one permitted to check their emails every day? I kid you not. And it must mean that the individual has an obvious problem. How many hours is considered too many hours texting? Hours? Wasted? Texting? Who are they texting? Go and talk to the guy. What are you going to sit and text it all day? That's a problem. It's addiction. But I'm going to ask you a question just between us. This is an intimate group today. I'm going to ask you a question. Are we a little guilty in that? I went to a nearby neighborhood. On a off day, I was sent shopping. Not a good idea. I was sent shopping. I forgot half the list. But while I was there, I was so startled. I'm not kidding you. If I would have had a picture, camera, telephone, I would have taken a picture right there. Because there, as one of the macholim, one of the delicacies in the refrigerated section, is called garlic addiction. Garlic addiction. Once we talk about garlic being addictive, or food, or lamb chops, or ribs, or french fries, or hamburgers, or milkshakes, addictions, what does that mean? We're trading that a little bit too much. I'm coming out just this week with a book, and the book is called The Addicted Soul, merely about addictions. So someone came over to me on Shabbos. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to confess. And they said, Rabbi Goldwasser, you know, you wrote the previous books, and the other books, like, they were very interesting and had one with stories and one with the... Why don't you write a nice book? Like, you know... I said, excuse me? They said, well, we didn't mean this is not a nice book, but what do you need to write this kind of a book for? I mean, frankly, I don't even think I would buy it. I said, well, maybe it's not for you. How do we get that? How do we get there? We need to understand what addictions are all about today, or else we fall prey. It's kisus, shotef, like the horse runs into battle, and the javelin is right pointed at their head. We have to understand it's a world of addictions. It's a world that if a person goes onto the internet and they don't have the proper, let us say, safeguards in place, that they could fall prey. It's not difficult. If an individual gets used to texting too much, they're going down the highway. And no matter how much traffic there is, I guarantee you they have a stronger desire to do the texting than to pay attention to the road, because it is something that takes us over. We have an addictive quality about us today. The Torah says addictions definitely come from a lack of spirituality. When there is a lacking in one area, we tend to compensate in a different area. So it's important to remember that whenever there is a need, whenever there is somebody who feels I'm struggling inside, go for the appropriate help. Make sure that an individual, I heard all the questions about the money and the costs. I'll tell you the truth, there should be no discussion about money and costs. And hopefully, the people that are in charge of classifying psychiatric illnesses will do the right thing. They've just asked about 1,000 therapists to submit papers on what should qualify. If an eating disorder does not qualify for insurance money, then I don't know what should. Honestly, people, highest mortality rate. People are starving, are dying, not because of their own fault, not because of anything that they did wrong. They, Nabuch, have something that is an illness. It is a challenge greater than we could ever imagine. And you're telling them that they cannot get help when they so much need it? You can tell them that they don't qualify for money, or you can have a two-week stay in a treatment center. Two-week stay. Person had a problem for 10 years. Finally, they decided, I'm strong enough. I'm going to be a gibora or a gibor. I'm going to be strong and I'm going to go in for treatment. And then they come in and they say, well, we're very sorry. It's the end of your 10 days or 2 weeks. Now you have to leave. What are they supposed to do? Cure themselves up in a minute because they were there? It is a Himmel Geshrei. Anybody that could possibly be a very vocal lobbyist to get insurance money for eating disorders and for any problem challenging as this, I assure you, you will have a schus, you will have a merit to take with you in this world and after 120 years. I know we're out of time. So, Frank, we'll do the second half next year, I guess. Just in ending, I'd like to go over a few very interesting shilas. I'll just say the questions, I can't give the answers. Is one allowed to purge? That means that they ate their Shabbos meal and then purged because they don't want to leave it inside too long. Then come back and still say Birkat HaMazon. Can they still bench afterwards? You know how many times I've been asked this, Shaila? How many times I've been asked that question? By people that really want to follow the halacha. And would you believe how much is written on it? There is a lot written on it. I spoke with the great Gaon, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, about this Shaila. That is how many people have consulted with me about it. With reference to shidduchim, how much of my decision should be based on looks? Is one permitted to exercise on Shabbos? So we would say exercise. Most people would think, take a leisurely walk, a spazier, 20 minutes, half an hour. No. We are talking about serious exercise in which we are calculating already the calories that we have burnt off, and how we have put ourselves back right from abusing our bodies in eating a regular meal. We have no idea the problem with anorexia athletica as it exists today in the gyms that are going on. I went to a man. He's in a clothing store. He asked to see me. He was embarrassed, so I went to him. I remember him. He was a robust figure, and now I take a look at him, and is a faint glimmer of what he used to be. And I walk into him and I say to him, Rick, how are you? How's it going? Rabbi, not so good. I had to speak to you. I said, what's wrong? He says, well, I know you do some work in eating disorders, right? Some of my friends told me. I said, that's correct. So he says, well, I think I got some kind of disorder. I'm not sure how you call it. I said, well, what's the problem? So he says, well, I'm exercising a lot, and last night I spent 4 hours in the gym. Do you think that that's a little too much? I said, Rick, can I ask you a question? How many pounds did you lose? He said, Rabbi, you really want to know? I said, well, it may be important. It may be important to know. And he told me. He says, did I go overboard? I said, Rick, you went a little overboard, a little bit. We got to work together. We don't realize. These behaviors catch on. Is one permitted? Is it preferable to cut oneself on Shabbos without letting blood? Cutting is akin to eating disorders, to bulimia. It's a silent, silent disease. People can cover it up, and they are more embarrassed to speak about it than talking about an eating disorder. Eating disorder, okay, today is spoken about. Is one ever permitted to say, I'm not ready to go out? Or is it under the category of mitzvah haboliyotcha altach mitzana? When a mitzvah presents itself, the opportunity, you cannot pass it up. How much bread do I have to eat on Shabbos to qualify as a kezias, the size of an olive, so that I can fulfill the mitzvah of eating the Sabbath meal? On the other way around, I'm on the Atkins. This is already, I would like to take a tally of how many people have asked me Atkins questions. The good doctors, Zichron and Levracha, should have paid me for the questions I'm answering about his diets. If I am not permitted to eat carbs, how can I wash for challah? How can I eat challah on Shabbos? That's a question that I've had many times. Or all the philosophical questions. I never lied in my life. When somebody asked me, did I eat my lunch? I told a lie for the first time. I said yes, and I did not eat it. I feel like a horrible sinner. Or the individual that fasts every Yom Kippur, and every Tinus Esther, and every Tisha B'Av, and every Shivosa B'Tamuz, and every Asar B'Teves, and all of a sudden, they come on Yom Kippur, and I say, you cannot fast. There is no way that you can fast. And the individual will argue with me, and they'll say, Rabbi, you don't understand. And I say, I'm a rabbi. I went to school for this. I do understand. And they'll say, yes, but I said, if you want to argue, if you're firmer than I am, you're more religious. Okay, you're more religious than I am. But I am telling you the psak. You cannot fast this Yom Kippur. One young woman runs back into the office after she tearfully accepted the psak that she would have to eat on Yom Kippur. And she said to me the following, Rebbe, would you mind if I say something? I said, no, you could say whatever you want. She said to me, you know, I messed up everything else in this world. Yom Kippur, I'm supposed to do tshuva and repent and fast. I'm going to mess that up too. Difficult words. And I went for the next hour and a half to explain how she's not messing it up, not messing anything up. She's on the road to recovery, and she'll heal, and she'll be great. And there'll be many Yomim Kippurim in the future that she will be able to observe with full health and full strength. We need to encourage each other. We need to have the right healthy attitudes. We need to wipe the idea out of the mind that shidduch is equated with dress size, pounds. We have to get back into the healthy eating idea. We have to understand what Hashem wants from us in this world. Hashem wants that we should be healthy individuals and that we should check ourselves to know that we are doing everything that Hashem wants us to in the area of physical health. It's just an amazing thing. I'll just end because there's so much I'd like to tell you, but I can't. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was asked a question about crash dieting. Crash dieting. Rav Moshe said in his tshuva, in his response to Nigris Moshe, crash dieting is asur. It is definitely forbidden. An individual, if they want to go into a healthy diet and they consult with a nutritionist and they're able to regulate their food and eat healthy and take from all the food groupings and so forth, that's a wonderful thing. But Rav Moshe said to go on a diet that is extreme, it is asur, it is forbidden. We should take at least the philosophy of that responsa and we should put it into our own mind. We should tell others about it. You came to this wonderful program of the Orthodox Union. You came to the wonderful program of MASK today and of NIDA. Be goodwill ambassadors. Spread it. Talk in your communities. Talk in the places where you go to. If you're teachers, tell it to your class. If you're families, take the soapbox one day and give a Devar Torah. Just say it out. It needs to be said again and again and again. In order to reverse the tide, in order that people should not glamorize these types of things, it will take a lot. Because right now, I think, we're at the height of the glamorization of all these types of eating disorders. And I think that if we will try hard and we will band together as a community, as an international community, in looking at the right way, pokeach ivrim, seeing ourselves as we truly are, we will gain a tremendous amount and we will do what Hashem says, asher b'chayes poer, that you are the people that I will take great glory in. Thank you.